going.
The song that we're going to do today is an old song, and a lot of the songs that we've done this morning carry the same kind of message with it. The title of this song is The Haven of Rest. My soul is at exile's hour I see, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, take me your joys, and I entered. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore.
Jesus Christ himself. Take your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. The Texas flooding there from Harvey has been devastating. I'm sure that you've been keeping up in the news with that, of what has taken place, and over 30 that have died, billions, I'm sure, of dollars in property damage that has taken place. The number of man hours just to provide the relief and assistance and cleanup and rebuilding, etc., there is just uncalculable, I believe. So there's so much that's going. And this past Tuesday, I went out on my deck there behind the house, and I began to think and imagine, you know, what would it be like if I was standing out there and I was seeing the waters rising up around my house, knowing that there was nothing in the world that I could do about it. As rivers maybe and lakes overflowed, and as dams or levees begin to have a breach in them and the waters come, it's hard to imagine. It's hard for me to imagine what that would be like, but I'm sure that it would be horrifying. And not just to mention the danger of it, but just the devastation of the loss that is there beyond that. In our passage here this morning, there is a similar type of a breach that is spoken of, one that might be like a levee that is broken and allowing the waters of a flood to come through. And I give you that verse there, and it should be familiar to you there in verse 30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And in this passage here, that make up the hedge and stand in the gap there, the hedge is actually the word that means there a breach in a wall, a broken down place. God is saying, I'm looking for someone to make up the hedge, to stand in the gap there, to fill in the gap in the broken down place. And God began giving me this message that I want to share this morning back over a week ago as I was down at the Outer Banks there on vacation with our family and our kids and grandkids. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in an illustration of it in just a moment. But one of the things I want you to get from that statement is we ought to be looking for God to speak to us and to guide us with things wherever we are, whatever we're doing. I think of the verse there in Deuteronomy about us as parents that we ought to teach the truths of God's Word to our children when they rise up and when we're walking in the way, etc., etc. At all times and in every circumstance, we ought to be looking for those teachable moments, those opportunities to teach our children, and we ought to be looking for those opportunities for our Heavenly Father to teach us, His children, the same type of way as He wants to teach us His truth. And so as I began to think about that and to put some things together there from this, I want us to see God's appeal that He had for His people and to for us to take from that we ought to take a stand for the Lord, and God wants us to stand even if we have to stand alone. And so my question is this morning for you, will you be the one to stand for God? I've entitled the message, Be the One. Father, I pray that you would help us as we look into your word here to see the truth of it, as we see the application of that in our lives, Lord, that may we be stirred. May we see, Lord, what you would have us to do, and Father, trust you to help us to do it. For it's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. There's an explanation I'd like to give concerning this passage. In the background, here is Ezekiel, the prophet of God, has been called to speak to the children of Israel. And there's a lot that's been going on because Israel pretty much has been turning their back upon the Lord. But he speaks in this passage specifically in verse 25 and following about the prophets, the priests, the princes, and even the people that had turned their back upon the Lord and were being disobedient unto the Lord, etc. there, was following other gods, etc. And God was fed up with it, and God was ready to bring judgment upon him. And therefore, he said there in verse 30, And I sought for a man among them, just one man among them, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. Just one person that would stand up for righteousness. Just one person that would stand up for faithfulness. Just one person that would stand up for the truth. But I didn't find any. It wasn't saying there wasn't anybody in Israel at all. I mean, there were some of these prophets, Ezekiel, Isaiah, etc., there that would have been there that day. But they were not looked to as leadership. They were not looked to for any guidance. They were despised pretty much, even put in prison, Isaiah was. And so we have a lot that goes on with that. But God was looking for one that would stand up, one that would stand for the truth, one would stand for righteousness, etc. there. And that's what it means here, as he says, to stand in the gap before me for righteousness, for witnessing, for the truth, for faithfulness, etc. there. The gap is the place that is broken down in the wall. It means the place there, an area that is lacking in our life, an area that is lacking that God wants to build up within us. He's looking for us to take a stand and be willing to say, Lord, you can use me in that area. You can build that in my life there. To take a stand means there to decide and to be willing and have a desire for righteousness, for witnessing, for faithfulness unto the Lord, etc. there, and to remain with that and to endure through that, to be the leader that God wants us to be. I've got my eye on some people in our church right now, and you'd be surprised that the leadership that I want from them. And some of them are about this tall. Okay? And I already have my eye on those people because I see the potential of what is there from our young people through our adults. And I want to see as we see those things developed within them. And I praise the Lord for what God is already doing and what God is doing amongst us. But we have here this desire that should be and say, Lord, I want to be used of you to stand for these areas, to be the leader that you want me to be. And I want to do it before you. It says, I look for a man to stand in the gap before me for the land. Before me has the idea of a conscious accountability to our God. Are you conscious? Well, I could have stopped right there. Are you conscious of your accountability to God this morning? That God holds you accountable for certain things about this church, not just about your life. You see, God wants us to be a part of His church and to be used within His church. And that is important for us to recognize and asking the question, Lord, where, how, when do you want me to be used of you in Holly Hills Baptist Church? We ought to be looking and accountable, recognizing, so that we would say, Lord, I want to take my stand. I have that desire, and I want to stand in the gap where it's lacking. That's what the desire should be. Not only do we see the explanation there of this in the passage, but we see examples of it that's given to us in Scripture. Noah, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, it says he was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was there amongst the entire world in which there was only 8 people saved alive that would listen to the truth of God's Word and get on board to the ark. God provided the way of escape. God provided the salvation from the judgment that was coming. But they had to listen to the word of warning, and they had to heed that warning by faith and get on board when there was no rain in sight. They didn't even know what rain was in that day. There had been a canopy upon the earth there. There was no flood. Never seen anything like that. God said, it's coming. They would not believe. Noah was faithful. Noah was a man that preached righteousness. He preached the truth of God's Word. He preached the warning that God gave. It tells us there in Genesis chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, that he was a just man, and that he walked with God. He had fellowship with God. Abraham, when the entire earth was idolatrous, even his father Terah was an idolater. And yet God called him to leave everything that he knew and to go into a place that God didn't even tell him where he was going, just, I want you to start walking. And he was willing to do it. And God promised him that all people of the earth would be blessed through him. By faith, he said, I'll be the one. We have Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and verse 12 where it says, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I'm sure Gideon was looking around and said, you talking about me? It goes on to say in verse 14 where it says, go, and thou shalt save Israel from the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? God had called him, and he went. He took the stand. He was willing to be the one. David stood in the presence of Goliath, who was backed by the great Philistine army. But we're told in 1 Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45, it says, then said David to the Philistine, to Goliath there, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He took a stand for God. He was the only one out of all the Israeli army soldiers that would, and he was just a young, probably still a teen when he did it. Paul, in a Greco-Roman world of paganism and idolatry, he made a stand with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put him in prison several times. Put him in danger of death on occasion. But he was faithful to be the one to share it. By God's strength, he shared the gospel. Each one, by God's help, made their stand in the gap, in the breach that was before them, to testify of God's way, of God's might, of God's deliverance. And it was a testimony to us, to be an example to us that we should do the same. There are reasons why men don't stand. I got to thinking about why is it that we as Christians struggle to take a stand and say, Lord, I'll be the one to stand in the gap to make up the difference there, the breach that is a broken down place. Why do we do it? Why do we not do it? And begin to think about reasons that people may give. Reasons maybe some that I've had in the past, from young people right on through to adult. And I boiled it all down to one word. You know what that one word is? It's fear. Fear. Part of self. But it's fear. Afraid of what? I'm afraid I won't know what to say. I won't know what to do. Who is it that's called you to stand in the gap? It's not at God. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. You remember when Moses said, I don't know what to say when God said, I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. And I don't talk good. God asked him a question. Well, you remember what it was? Who made your mouth? Who made your mouth? If God has called us to take the stand, if God has told us to speak out, if God has called us to do something for Him, He is faithful to do it, to help us, give us the power, and to accomplish it if we are willing for Him to work in us, to will and to do of His good pleasure. They're afraid of, what if no one will stand with me? What if I say I'll take my stand, but nobody else does? That is a possibility. Could I ask you, will you be the one? That's the question. You can't control what your neighbor does. You can't control what your sibling does. You can't control what your spouse does. You can't control what the other people at school do. You can't control what your coworkers do. But you can control what you do. And that's all God is asking today. What will you do? Will you be the one to stand for Him? That's the question before us. I'm afraid. What if I'm made fun of? What if I'm rejected? What if I'm left out? Well, in John chapter 15, notice what Jesus said about that. John 15 and verse 20, Jesus said, "Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you." No, there's a great chance that you take a stand to be the one that people are going to take a shot at you. People are going to treat you differently. They're going to leave you out. But are you willing to be the one? I remember when I was in high school, most of my friends that were at my church that were my age and my grade, they went to a private school. It wasn't a Christian school, just a private school. My mom and dad sat down with me because I asked, you know, what's the chances of me going to that private school? They said, "Son, if it was a Christian school, we would sacrifice to put you there, but not for just a private school." So I was in the public school system. There weren't many Christians, good Christians, that were there with me. There were some other Christians that were there, but they weren't a whole lot different than the ones that weren't Christians that were there. And so taking a stand was pretty much by myself most of the time. And there were times that I did get left out. I was on the football team and the track team and so forth, but there would be things going on I never got an invitation to. One, I think it was probably known, oh, he wouldn't come to that anyway. But at the same time, that's not where I looked for my acceptance. Amen. Amen. It's not where we should be looking for acceptance today. Right. If we're fearful that the world may reject us, if we're fearful that our worldly friends may not accept us or that we'll be left out, where do you look for your acceptance? What is important to you? I'd rather be accepted by my Lord and please Him than necessarily just be accepted by other people. Please them, you see. So these reasons are tied to fear, being afraid. But God says over and over in Scripture, "Be not afraid." In Ezekiel 2, He told Ezekiel here to take a stand there and to speak the truth that God was giving of His word to Israel, even to these people that were stubborn and stiff-hearted, that did not want to hear the truth. He said, "You be faithful, you take the stand, and you give them the truth." And in verse 6, He said, of chapter 2, He said, "Be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words." We should not be fearful today to take the stand. Whatever God says for us to stand, whether it is in the area of faithfulness, in witnessing, whether it's taking a stand for righteousness, etc., we ought to be willing to take the stand. In applications, all of those things I just said would apply to us, but there's one other application that I want you to see, not just righteousness and for witnessing and for the gospel, etc. there, but in Psalm 106, if you want to flip over there, in Psalm 106, Moses is an example here. Moses had gone up on Mount Sinai there in the wilderness wanderings, and God was going to give him the Ten Commandments, and while he was gone, there was the children of Israel down there, and they said, "Hey, we don't know what's happened to Moses. It's been too long since he ain't coming back." And so they got Aaron to build a golden calf for them there, and they began to dance naked around the golden calf and to worship it, like all of the heathen did. And it displeased God to the point that God said, "I will destroy them." But look at verse 23. Therefore, he, God, said that he would destroy them had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. There's the same terminology that we're reading here in our verse there in Ezekiel. To stand in the gap, make up the hedge, stand in the gap, fill in the breach that is there. He stood in the breach to turn away God's wrath there, lest he should destroy them. And Exodus 32, it says that Moses interceded unto God for the people. And that's what was talking about here in Psalm chapter 6. The way that he stood in the gap, the way that he stood in the breach there was he began to intercede for the people there unto God. And so not only is standing in the breach there where we ought to stand for righteousness and that we ought to stand in faithfulness, we ought to stand in witnessing, etc. there, but we ought to stand by interceding for others. Praying for others concerning their salvation, concerning a Christian's dedication unto the Lord, their growth, wisdom in making choices and decisions, etc. God is looking for some people to stand in the gap in that area of intercession as well. Moses, again, is the illustration there in the wilderness wanderings. If you remember when the Amalekites began to attack there, and Joshua and the Israelites fought in the valley, and Moses interceded for them on the mountain as he raised his hands in prayer unto the Lord. God gave victory unto Joshua and the Israelites as they were fighting, but as Moses became weary and his hands and arms became heavy there, then the Amalekites began to have victory. And it was Aaron and Hur, not H-U-R, and not Ben either, it was Aaron and Hur that lifted up his arms there as he continued to intercede, and God gave victory to Joshua and the Israelites over the Amalekites there during that time in that battle. Let me ask you something. Was there a connection between the victory that God gave in the valley with Joshua and the people of Israel and the connection to Moses in interceding on top of the mountain? You better believe there was connection that was there. And that is the interceding there, standing in the gap for another in righteousness, in witnessing, in faithfulness, and in interceding for another. Saturday, I told you a week ago, as I was at the Outer Banks there, we were on vacation there, and everybody in our family, other than Josh, didn't get to come with Lisa, but. He had to work, but other than David's family, we all met there, the kids and the grandkids. I was out on the beach there on that Saturday morning, and I was sitting there. Vicki was beside me. Here was my children and my grandchildren all out in front of me playing there in the ocean and some on the sand. And Brock and Silas, my two youngest grandsons, were there, and they were making a sand wall. It was right there, and the tide was coming in, and the waves were relentless. And as the tide got further there, the waves began to hit the wall. And as the waves began to hit the sand wall, guess what happened? There was a breach in the wall that took place. And as I was sitting there watching this take place, and I watched them take their little plastic shovels, and they started in there just digging hard as they could go to fill in that breach, God brought this message to my heart. And I began to take some pictures of them. I began to watch some of the things that they were doing. And I took my phone, I put it on the microphone, and I started recording things as fast as God was giving it to me. And I began to look at that and watch. And you know one of the things that I saw and observed? That soon as the breach took place, they both jumped in with their shovels and began to dig hard as they could go to fill the sand back up. That's a desire for the wall to remain. Folks, you'll never stand in the gap to make up the hedge if you don't desire for the wall to remain. Amen. There's got to be a desire first. And I hope in your life, whether it's righteousness, whether it's faithfulness, whether it's witnessing, whether it's praying, whatever it is that God is saying, there's a breach in the walk. There is a lacking area that is there. I hope first that you will have a desire that that wall remain and that breach be repaired. It takes the effort to jump in there and get it done. I want you to understand, as I was watching there, the waves were relentless. To me, the waves would represent Satan's attack. Whether it is in trials or temptations in our life, his attacks are relentless. They will never cease. Do you know that the devil never goes on vacation? Never takes a break. He's always after us. David was saying this morning in Sunday school with the adults that the devil doesn't play fair. He'll kick you while you're down. He'll try to take advantage of you when you're the weakest, etc. That's the way he works. That's who he is. We need to understand our enemy, and we need to defend ourselves. The waves were relentless, so was Satan's attacks. The tide was coming in. As the tide came in, more and more the waves began to hit the sand wall there to create the breach further. You know that Paul told Timothy that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The tide coming in represents that to us today. We're living in the end times, I believe. Amen. Satan's attacks are getting worse and worse. The devil is having more and more victory. And we're seeing it take place in our nation, Amen. In our communities, and unfortunately, even in some of our homes. We need to recognize Satan's relentless attack, that the tide is coming in. It's getting worse. The repairing of the breach that they were doing was continual. You know that the moment that they stopped digging, the breach got worse. And the same thing is true with us. We need to understand that we've got to be continually working at repairing the wall that God is working within us. We can't stop. Because the moment we stop, the breach gets worse. Do you know and understand the illustration that I just gave? And can God use that to give you a desire to keep repairing whatever breach He reveals in your life this morning? Don't give up. Don't give up on repairing the breach. Dr. W.A. Criswell made this statement. He wrote this. He says, "Standing in the gap is a heroism that has captured the imagination of all history. In the war between the states, the Union Army surprised the Confederates with their attack on the Virginians at the head of the Shenandoah Valley in July of 1861. The Confederates fell into disarray under General Lee, but there was a man, a colonel named Thomas Jackson, who stood there. General Lee then shouted to all the troops up and down the line, 'Look, look, there's Jackson standing like a stone wall.' The troops rallied, and as you know, they won the battle that day, the first battle of Bull Run. To this day, nobody calls Jackson by anything than Stonewall Jackson. Amen. Because he stood in the breach. If we think that's heroic, if we think that is honorable, then why don't we do it for God? Why won't we be the one that stands in the gap to make up the hedge? There's a song that I'd like to end with. I wish I could sing it. But the lyrics say, "In a world full of broken dreams, where the truth is hard to find, for every promise that is kept, there are many left behind. Though it seems that nobody cares, it still matters what you do. 'Cause there's a difference you can make, but the choice is up to you. Will you be the one to answer His call? Will you stand when those around you fall? Will you be the one to take His light into a darkened world? Tell me, will you be the one? He goes on to say, there are still some battles that I must fight from day to day. Yet the Lord provides the power for me to stand and to say, yes, I'll be the one to answer His call. And I will stand when those around me fall. I will be the one to take His light into the darkened world. Yes, I will be that one. Be the one this morning. Will you pledge to stand in the gap for God today? By God's help, we can do that. Every head bow, please. God knows that we're not perfect. That could be your testimony today to start with and say, Lord, You know that I'm not perfect. You know that there are breaches in my life, in my wall. But God is working in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. To will, to have that desire to repair the breach and to do His good pleasure, because He's going to help me. Faithful is He that calleth you. If that is true in your life this morning, will you pledge to stand in the gap for God today? How many of you today would say, by raised hand, I'm not perfect. God's still working on me, but I have a desire to stand for God, and I pledge to do that to the best of my power by His help. I will pledge to seek to stand for God in the gap today. If that's your desire, could I see your hands very quickly? Thank you. All over the building. Thank you. Father, I pray that as we have a desire, that we also would put forth the effort to continue to throw the sand to the wall, that we may make up the gap by Your help. Help us to stay faithful at it. In whatever specific need that You put Your finger on today, may we seek that particular area for You to help us to be fixed. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.